Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Get that Let It Be Solar hotline cooking today at 1-800-795-9565. Powered by Let It Be Solar, go to LetItBeSolar.com. You saw the play. What did you think? Did they get it right? Are Kevin and I wrong?
Has been known to happen.
Rarely.
All right, just for me.
I'm wrong a lot. But I think that I just like to know what people think. Now, I'm not so sure that the referees still have the leverage you're talking about.
I would think at this point, I know they're locked out. I realize that. But I would think that they would have a little bit more leverage because now the people that are actually spending money to make the NFL work, to make the NFL happen, are actually really up in arms. I mean, they were a little bit upset. But when you get a primetime game where a bad call and even a reviewable call is still not gotten right, now you really affect the game. And that's when I think the fan base starts to turn on the NFL. That's where I think they have the advantage. Because now they can come in going, hey, listen, you know, people aren't going to start spending money or keep spending money if you keep these guys in there. So here's what we're looking for.
I understand that sentiment. But at the same time, the NFL can't completely cave and go, here, go ahead, take everything.
No, but I agree with you
but
there.
But the NFL is the equivalent, let's face it, of the ticket oak.
Yeah, that's true. It is the money oak.
I mean, you go up to the money oak, and like the NFL, the way they are structured right now, they are just plucking cash off the old tree. So they can make, you know, can they make a deal with the officials? From what I understand, that one of the areas of contention is the pension plan. It's not just the per game thing, but it's the pension plan. And that it was offered by the officials, and I hope I have the story right, that the current officials have certain expectations of the pension plan based on the previous contract they signed. In other words, going forward in their lives, this is what they had planned on. I understand that completely. And that they said, look, if you keep the current officials on the current pension plan, anybody hired from this day forth can then be on your 401k plan, which the NFL is trying to shift them over to. I find that, if true, to be an incredibly reasonable compromise.
Sounds like it.
Especially when you're looking at a league that is not cash strapped. This league is not cash strapped. They're the ticket oak. Thank you, Ben. Thank you, ticket oak.
I gotta find that.
I don't even know what that's for.
I think it's for. I think it's a StubHub.
Is it for StubHub? Okay.
I'll find it. Don't worry.
There's so many commercials now that are like really good, and then you say to yourself later, "What was that for?" By the way.
I'll find it. Don't you worry.
And nobody knows.
Yeah, it's StubHub. StubHub.
Hey, Steven, what kind of tree is that?
Oh, it's my ticket oak. Go say hi.
Hi, Ticket Oak.
Hi, Ben.
Can I get 4 tickets to this weekend's game? What? I love you, Ticket Oak.
I love you too, Ben.
That's well, the best.
The NFL is the money oak. Okay. It's the money oak. They have the money to do this. This is a drop in the bucket to them. Okay. I mean,
we got a post on Facebook from Kevin that said, not only are the replacement refs having trouble keeping up with the speed of the game, they're not used to working with each other. You could tell last night when the refs looked at each other, they thought they were in agreement and then signaled a different outcome, and that's what I was talking about earlier.
Right, yeah, exactly. He's right about that. That's a very, very good point.
I mean, if you're 6 inches apart and you can't come to a consensus, but, you know, like I said, they've discussed everything else.
Yeah, well, they aren't 6 feet apart, though, when they make the out. But let's be fair about that. When the guy, they are yards apart as he's running in.
Right, but I'm saying when they look at each other right above the pile, and they're almost touching each other.
Yeah, but see.
I know what you're saying. I know where you're going with it, though. Yeah,
the difference is the guy running in already thinks it's an interception. Right, he thinks it's an interception, and he has the best one to call it a touchdown, and I don't even think he can see.
Because he's rolled to his side. I don't think he can even see who's got possession.
Right, and he called it a touchdown. So, it sure does make you for an entertaining show.
Let me ask you this. Is there a rule in the NFL that the, quote, ties go to the receiver?
Yes.
Okay. It's like in baseball. Ties go to the runner.
Tie goes to the runner. Right. Tie goes to the receiver. Right? So when they were talking about simultaneous possession, the offense wins.
However, there was a rule that I heard somebody talking about or read about today that it's not simultaneous catch if the player gains control first and an opponent gains joint control afterwards.
I think it's just in the completion of the catch going to the ground.
Okay, it's a whole process. Okay.
Right, yeah, it's the entire process. And see, Golden Tate never comes close, does not. Golden Tate is trying to come close. He's trying his darndest to come close in the process to doing it, but in my opinion, does not.
Well, let's look at it this way. If you're catching a ball and they're talking about possession on an inbounds play or out of bounds, if the receiver has possession, what they're looking for is control of the ball with one or both hands and both feet in bounds, obviously. So wouldn't a simultaneous catch mean both players have to have at least both hands on the ball?
Yes.
And that wasn't the case here.
Right. Tate does not have both hands on the ball. And not only that, but Jennings has the ball to his chest.
Right.
See, the disturbing part to me, Kevin, in all this, is not the actual call itself, which I don't agree with, but it's the NFL backing these guys up and basically looking at their consumers and saying, look, you're just fans. You don't know.
Or worse yet, we know it's wrong, but don't worry about it.
I mean, they could have come out and they could have said, look, after reviewing it last night, you missed a pass interference call. It is a very tough call to make because of all the bodies involved and the scrum at the end. But in the end, we did determine by, even though we cannot change the outcome of the game, right? We determined in the end that Jennings did intercept the ball. And there was not simultaneous possession. We can't do anything about the result of the game because the result of the game was ruled upon last night at the end. And a replay was done. But we've taken a long look at it. We apologize to the fans. We apologize to the Green Bay Packers.
I'd just like somebody to explain to me how on replay you couldn't determine anything.
Yeah, but he goes under the hood, okay? I mean, he's going under the hood, and he's got pressure on him.
Sure.
And where's that hood located? 50-yard line? Safely ensconced? Security around him? No, it's at the 20.
Probably not.
It's at the 20-yard line up against the stands.
But isn't there a replay official that he's talking with at the time?
No, he's got to look at it himself.
He's just looking at it. See, I always thought there was a replay official. I was uneducated about that. I thought there was a replay official he was discussing it with.
No, they have replay officials there, the final 2 minutes and so forth. But this is one he'd have to, you know. I think he went under the hood and he looked at it. I just don't see what they saw.
I can tell you what the NFL saw, a nightmare.
Yeah, but they backed up the nightmare. See, and I do understand. Okay, let me say this. I understand the NFL's desire to support these guys. All right. Okay, can we start there?
Right.
I mean, from a management point of view, you and I make a mistake. All right. I would hope at least privately Roger would back us up.
Yes.
All the way.
That seems fair.
Right. Mark Lawrence in the morning, he can set him adrift. I don't care what he does to him. Now,
that's right.
But when it comes to you and me, I'd like this to be thought of as the chosen ones.
Sounds great.
So far, so good. Right? But say we do something that's way off the reservation and it's wrong. Okay? I would still expect, based on past experience, that we would get support from management. That they know who we are, the kind of people we are, and so on and so forth. Okay? So I can understand the support part of it, right? Especially with these guys being put in a tough spot. Now, some scabs working for Lawrence in the morning, I would expect them to flush him down the drain.
Yep. Because you're on your own.
You and I back Lawrence all the way, okay?
Right.
He's our man. They put some replacement in for him. Ooh, you and I are not tolerating
selling
that,
him out.
Are we? Nope, we are not going to sell him out because we have solidarity with our brother in the morning. Okay?
We'll sell out this gap.
Right. Yeah, no, nobody talks to Lundberg like he does. All right? So, but you would expect that management backs you up. So I can understand the desire on the NFL's part as management to back these guys up in a tough position. But at the same time, I think there's a way of backing them up while also being honest with their consumers who are spending thousands of dollars on tickets, spending thousands of dollars on parking, spending thousands of dollars on food, spending thousands of dollars on fantasy leagues, and some of which the NFL sponsors. And even though the NFL wants to turn away and not recognize it, which in the position of the NFL, I would too, but they'll realize that there's millions of dollars on the line every week in Las Vegas. Some legal, some illegal. There has to be at some point a recognition of that, and they don't recognize that in this statement. You know, they back them up, but I think there's a way of backing them up while also saying, you know what? Here's one that didn't go right. Can't change the result because a game is a game, right? And the human element's part of the game. But upon further review, after really a painstaking look at the play, we determined that in all likelihood it was an interception. And even though Seattle's 2-1 and Green Bay's 1-2, we at least like to recognize what really happened. I think the statement they put out today is a slap in the face of everybody watching the game. Dave, what do you think? Hi, Dave.
Hello?
Hi, Dave. What do you think?
Well, to be honest, Roger Goodell always talks about protecting the shield. I think he fell on it.
Well, you're right. I mean, he's talking about protecting the shield, and the shield, of course, at least the way I interpret it from his point of view, would be the integrity of the game.
You know, he puts all those penalties on the ball players for their drinking and whatever happens away from football, but he can actually take care of what's going on in the field. They should be more prudent to taking care of that, to be honest.
Well, you know, again, I don't know how, you know, what the stumbling block is. I've been reading enough to get a sense that a part of the stumbling block is not just salary, but it's pension plan. And if what Scott Green said is true, and Scott Green is the head of the NFL RA and a fine official in his own right, by the way, if it has to do with the pension plan offer that he talked about, it would be a pension plan offer that, especially with the league of the resources of the NFL, that I would accept. In other words, anybody hired from now on can be on the NFL's 401k plan, which costs the NFL less money. But those officials who have been there for a long time can be on the pension plan that was agreed to in the last go-around 10 years ago. I think also the referees want a 10-year deal. The NFL wants 7. I think they can compromise on 8.
Well, some of that board of the owners that has changed hands over the years, like the team I root for, Buffalo, their owner is basically he's got ill problems going on with him, so he's not involved like he used to be.
Right, yeah. You talk about Ralph Wilson. Yeah. And Ralph Wilson's in his upper 80s, for goodness sakes.
What I'm saying is that other people, they're changing the owners as far as being involved in different committees. It's changing things.
Well, yeah, and there are changes without question. There are changes without question going on because of the age of some of the owners in the NFL. And there's also been a changing of the guard, too, because obviously Art Modell's now passed away. Don't have Lamar Hunt anymore. Some of the stabilizing forces in the NFL among ownership changing over time. And that has happened. Bob, you've been fortunate along the way. For example, someone like Robert Kraft's come along, and the mayors are still deeply involved. So you still, you know, and William Clay Ford's still involved. So there's still part of the old guard still there. But
yeah, well,
I see what go ahead,
Dave. I understand what you're saying. But making the point is, you know, sometimes the more they change, the rate stays the same. But it's also, you know, different people, you know, it's involved in dirt. Even the officials have been changing, too, all along, too. So,
well, because the officials will change, okay, over time, that's why you'll gradually over this, you know, the NFL wants a 7-year deal, the referees want 10. I said 8. Say it ends up being 8. Over an 8-year span, half these officials are going to change out anyway. So it'll work out for both sides. And that's what you want.
Okay,
Dave, thanks so much. I have to go to a break. Appreciate it. All right, we'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Everything is on sale at Sunbury Motors Hyundai Lincoln. Everything is on sale.
And we mean everything.
New, used cars, trucks, vans, and SUVs. All priced at blowout pricing for this once-in-a-lifetime sale. Every one of the stylish, most fuel-efficient cars in America discounted to sell.
Sell. Sell.
Check it out. A 40 mpg Elantra, Elantra Coupe, and Elantra GT. All priced under 20 grand.
Not bad for being the 2012 North American Car of the Year.
Also, the Sporty Veloster, priced under 20 grand. And if that doesn't blow your mind, how about the beautiful Sonata? Also available at around 20,000 bucks. And if you're looking for a used car, we've got hundreds to choose from. All at the lowest prices of the year. So if you're in the market or even thinking about it, there is only one place to stop. One place to stop. Sunbury Motors Hyundai Lincoln in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza. Because right now, everything is on sale. And we mean everything.
Have you seen this hottest video on YouTube?
Of course not. You know I haven't.
I figured you didn't. There's a South Korean rapper named Psy. who does a song called Gangnam Style that is huge. There's a dance that goes with it, and the Ohio University Marching Band did it, I believe it was this past weekend, and they do the dance with it. How you do that playing an instrument is beyond me, but you can see it at stevejonesshow.com. It's actually really good.
You know I didn't see
it. I know you didn't see it.
These things go viral, and I think to myself, take more vitamin C. I mean, I don't think, to me, that the expression.
Excuse me. I was giving you the benefit of the doubt that you didn't see it, but that's okay. You're one of five people in the world that hasn't, so.
Yeah. I mean, eventually I see some stuff. I actually see more stuff now that I look at our own website. That actually helps me out a lot because there's stuff on there. I go, oh, really? I'm going. You never know. I mean, every audience has delusional people.
we haven't helped that poll for the referees at all with this program
today.
I
just like to keep the delusional ones to a minimum. News next with Barney.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
That's the Lenape Solar Hotline, powered by Lenape Solar, 1-800-795-9565. Of course, we're in the beautiful Sunbury Motor Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Saw the Sunbury Motors guys tailgating at the north end of Beaver Stadium on Saturday. It's great to say hi to them. So I was walking in on Saturday. Made a couple comments about Kevin. We moved on.
I doubt that.
No.
I doubt the fact that you moved on.
I did move on because I had a lot to do on Saturday. I had to get in to drop off the pregame show with Bill and record the open, and then I had to get over to the Founders Room at the Jordan Center to interview all the 1982 players, or as many as we could, obviously. So, yes, I did have I actually was busy.
You say so.
Mm-hmm. Just pointing out what I did. Hey, we're starting to cook on old Facebook here, aren't we, Kev?
I think we've started something there.
Yeah. We've been able. We've tripled our Facebook deal in in about 6 weeks.
Well, yeah, you say enough things that tick enough people off, and, you know, that's it. Just kidding.
Not only, Kevin wrote on Facebook, not only are the replacement refs having trouble keeping up with the speed of the game, they are also not used to working with each other, as you pointed out earlier. You could tell last night when both refs looked at each other and thought they were in agreement, then signaled a different outcome. So, yeah. Very nice. Big Ten Basketball Media Day coming up Thursday, October 25th. I have to complete an online registration. I'm not going. But I do have to vote for a preseason team. I do know that.
I hate those preseason polls.
They're tough to do. I'm always uncomfortable with the preseason part of it. Postseason, I enjoy voting for very much. That part I do enjoy. But we thank everybody for jumping on board with us on Facebook very, very much. JC in Sealands Groves jumped on board on the phone line, and JC, we're very pleased to hear from you. How are you today, my friend?
I'm doing good. Actually, I'm driving home to Sealands Grove, coming up through Allenwood, and it's raining a little bit. But the reason I'm calling is something off the wall. I was watching college football Saturday, and I was watching Army play. I remember back in the 80s when the Dallas Cowboys, they used to walk up to the line, and they'd get in their 3-point stance, and then they would get up, and they would kind of juke, and then they would go back down into their set. Do you remember that?
Yeah, they did that. The Cowboys always did that in the 60s, 70s, and early 80s under Tom Landry because they wanted to hide where the running backs were in formation as they shifted.
And then I was watching the Army game, and the Army does something I think, maybe I've never watched them enough, or maybe this is new that they're doing now, or maybe they've done it for a while, and I just never paid attention to it. But the whole line will drop back on one leg and face the sideline, like face the coach. And then they get to play.
Right.
And then they turn all turn back around. It was the craziest thing to watch.
I've seen a lot of teams do that at JC in the last 5 years. In fact, Illinois, Penn State's playing Illinois this week. That's how they used to do it all the time with Ron Zook.
What's the reasoning behind that?
They're all looking at the sideline to get the play because that's how they decide to do it. That puts them at the line of scrimmage. It keeps them out of the huddle. And also, at the same time, they're trying to reduce the opportunity for the defense to make changes defensively. And what happens is by being at the line of scrimmage, they can snap the ball at any moment, which keeps you as a defense from throwing a package of players on there and then trying to rush another package of players off. So what happens is that the coaches, by forcing you to keep your personnel out there, and the coaches, by forcing you to maybe show your hand a bit defensively, then make a play call based on what they see, and then they go to it.
Wow, that was amazing. I just never paid attention to it before, but it was interesting to watch. And I was wondering how, because the defense, it seemed like it took them a little while to get used to that, you know, watching them. And then once they got used to it and settled in, it was just like anything else. But I just wanted to call in, and they brought back memories of the Dallas Cowboys when they used to do that.
Yeah, they'd pop up and then pop down. And what Tom Landry wanted to do when they pop up like that, all up and then all go back down, was he was trying to hide where the running back was actually going to line up.
Well, that makes sense. Hey, listen, one more thing for Kevin. I watch a lot of Steelers Grove football, and I remember back in the day they used to always come to the sidelines, get the play, and then bring it back in.
Sure.
Now I notice, I went to the Shikellamy game, and now I notice that the quarterback wears an armband. It looks like he's got some plays on his wrist, kind of going to the college mode. College idea of running plays and getting in sync with maybe what the pros do, but I noticed a lot of the other guys on the team also have the wristbands look like maybe some plays on. I just thought that was pretty interesting for a high school team to be using that method of play calling.
Well, you know, it's starting to filter down to all levels. FCS uses it a lot. I've seen a lot of FCS teams this year with the entire line actually wearing a sleeve. And what they're doing is they're signaling in the play from the sidelines with three different guys, usually all backup quarterbacks. They'll signal in the play. One guy will be the hot, caller, we'll call it, and he'll actually signal in the play. Then everybody will look at the wristband. They won't even huddle. And what the idea is behind that at the FCS level is you don't get a chance to sub as easily on defense and have situational substitutions.
Uh-huh.
At the high school level, they're trying to get a quicker way to get the play in, so you don't have to run your quarterback another 800 yards a game.
Right, right. That's a big change for me because when I played back in the day, we used to throw stones. But when I used to play back in the day, they used to do hand signals. You know,
right?
They used to do the hand signal thing. Well, one play I really messed up, and it was because the backup quarterback was usually the one that sent in the plays to me. And apparently he got bit by a spider or stung by a bee. So
so he was waving a different play in.
Oh, I was supposed to run it, and I passed it, and the coach was mad. One of those face-masking, grabbing, shaking things.
Have you ever played a game with younger or even teenage kids where you line five of them up and you start a story, or you start a one-sentence story at the beginning and see how it ends up at the end? That's exactly why you don't shuttle in plays with another player anymore, because the formation gets completely different by the time he gets to the huddle.
Well, I just thought I'd call in and give you my observations from pro down to college and then a little bit of high school, and I appreciate you taking my call, guys.
JC, thanks a lot. Remember, back in my day, we drew the plays in the dirt, then ran them. All right. Thanks, JC.
Steve was always the piece of glass.
A couple quick notes for you. It's amazing how every day something happens where it takes shape. Yesterday, we had on Tim Beckman's teleconference in which he mumbled, fumbled, and stumbled over a question which you would think he would have been prepared for. You know, they didn't move the Penn State game off your schedule, so you're going to have to answer the question. And Bill O'Brien had to answer the same question, saying Bill gave the answers that I expect when it comes to Illinois being actively recruiting Penn State players. And then, you know, and Bill gave the expected answer. Hey, look, you know, I got a game to play. Let's just go win the game. That's exactly what Penn State needs to do. They can't sit there and worry about this. And for Tim Beckman, he has to answer the question because he has to explain to the world the ethics of it. And it's a little more difficult to do that. That was yesterday. That's in the rearview mirror now. Today, it's all about Golden Tate and Jennings and the play in the back of the end zone at Seattle. And NFL replacements. That Beckman's a lucky guy. He got knocked off the front page. Got knocked off the page of the show.
As you said in the open, it's like he does not have a good answer.
He doesn't have a good answer for it.
No, actually, let me have an answer.
I mean, he just doesn't have an answer for it. And when you don't have an answer for it, you end up answering it the way you did yesterday, sounding confused. Well, that happens. Now, as for the game, you got to go play the game. It's not going to add any motive. You know, maybe during the week it'll add some motivation for Penn State, whatever. But once you get smacked in the mouth a couple of times, that stuff goes away. It becomes a game. Now, it's just a matter of whether you're better or not. And I watched Illinois on tape today. This is what I see as we slide back from the Packers and Seahawks and the stunning set of calls at the end of last night's game. Again, live, I thought it was an interception. Live, I thought it was a pick. I didn't think it was a touchdown, and then when they called it, I thought, gee, Tate must have wrestled it away from him. Illinois is a team. Riley O'Toole's the better quarterback of the two quarterbacks, especially if Nathan Schielhaus continues to have a problem with that ankle. Doug in Wellsboro is with us. Hello, Doug. It's great to hear from you. Good afternoon.
Hi, guys. How are you doing?
Doing well, Doug.
Hey, I'm apologizing. I haven't been able to listen earlier in the week or earlier today. With this
Doug,
Tim Beckman
Doug,
thing.
Doug. Shame.
I've got to pay the bills.
Oh, hey. Doug, your excuses are so petty.
With this Tim Beckman thing.
Yeah.
He went after, was sending all those coaches to say college and stuff. Doesn't that send a message to his team that you guys simply aren't good enough or we need better talent? I mean, is he in danger of losing his team? Or, I mean, they got smoked by Louisiana Tech. I know this game will be different this week, but doesn't that reflect on his players going after other players so hard?
Well, you know what? It's an interesting point, Doug, and I agree with that because I said this the first week, if you recall. The first week that this issue came up, where all of a sudden everybody was climbing all over campus, following guys to class, following guys to their dorms, Penn State players not wanting to leave the Lash building because they didn't want to be harassed. I mean, there were still players, by the way, Doug, that still get text messages, okay? Right? That haven't played yet. It still happens, okay? And I said that week, you go through a winter workout and you recruit. You have National 11-10 Day. Every coach in the country thinks that on Thursday, the day after the letter of intent day, okay, that's my football team. You go into spring practice with the veterans and you practice. And then your freshmen get integrated into that in late June. And now you start working toward the preseason. And then suddenly at the end of July, you go out and say, hey, look, I'm going to take some of their players. I mean, and it is a signal to your own team and also to your own staff that you just don't like the team you have. I need more guys. And I just find the whole thing, I find reprehensible. If Penn State had been given the death penalty, I could see it because the players should have an opportunity to go someplace and be able to play. But they have a place to play here where they committed to it. And the way this entire thing was done is not correct. It's not right. And the fact that these people came in, and it's not just them, but all the other schools, Are they allowed to do it? Absolutely. Is it ethical? I say no.
What's the truth? You were there in State College. We're not. How many schools were actually there on campus, outside the Lash building, things like that? I know people get texts and stuff like that, but how many people were actually legitimately there on campus?
Doug, that one I can't answer, and here's the reason why. That week, I went on a six-game road trip with the State College Spikes. So I went to Connecticut for three games and then Lowell, Massachusetts for three games. So when a lot of that was going on, I was away. In fact, I did not get back into State College until about 2 hours before the rally took place with the fans in town. That's when I got back, and I think that's the day Silas Red left. But I do know in talking with the players that many of them did not want to leave the Lash building because they felt it was a safe haven because other people could not get in to see them, that they were followed to class, that they were followed to their dorm rooms, and that the second they left the place, they had people, you know, trying to get near them as often as possible. How many, to what extent, a number of schools? If I were to answer that, I'd be lying to you because I don't have the answer.
Now, the one thing I can say, and we talked about this yesterday, there was a report out of a Chicago television station that there were eight Illinois people, representatives, we'll call them, that went to recruit two Penn State players. So take what you want out of that.
Was Ryan Nowicki one of them?
I'm sorry. Not allowed.
Okay.
The chief's not allowed. Remember, the chief can't even be in his own stadium. They've been told, no chief. Not allowed.
Well, I know we're up against the clock, but I read an article a couple years ago. I read an article about Aurelius Ben about, I know it's under Zook and stuff, but he enrolled early. All the stuff he went through, you know, I know he was an NFL caliber player, but those guys that come in early, you know, go to class, get acclimated, stuff like that, and then in the summer you find out, hey, they're going to bring some kid in from out of, you know, other program, maybe to be ahead of you on the depth chart. It kind of, I mean, I'd be kind of miffed.
Oh, I did a look, especially you go through with one thought, and then out of nowhere they're bringing in somebody else to challenge you for your spot. Now, I can guarantee you in no uncertain terms, Ryan Nowicki's not challenging anybody for their spot.
I know that. I know.
No, I mean, look, you have to remember, I see these guys. I know what, you know, I can tell you in no uncertain terms what everybody got and didn't get.
Hey, real quick, what do you think? What do you expect from this week's game? I know they lost Louisiana Tech, but that each game's different. What do you expect to happen this week? Shielhouse going to run on them?
Well, Shielhouse is not running well, Doug. I mean, I watched the Louisiana Tech tape just this morning, and he's not running the football because that ankle's bothering him. And he even was chased down from behind by one of the defensive linemen trying to roll to his left. And I was just really taken aback by how much it changes him as a quarterback when he can't move as well. Now, I'm sure his ankle's a little bit better this week than it was last week, but he didn't have a lot of mobility. Now, Riley O'Toole, I thought, was very good in the game. And O'Toole, I think the stereotype is that, hey, 6'4", he's not mobile. He moves a lot better than people think. He broke out of the pocket at one point. He picked up like 7 or 8 yards in the play, and he did that against Penn State last year. He ripped off that 20-yard gain in the snow last year to try and set up a series for Illinois. So he runs better than people think, has a really good arm, and they run a lot of short stuff, and they use the backs effectively out of the backfield, especially Josh Ferguson, who's very precise in his routes, and Donovan Young's not bad either. I don't think they're that great in the offensive line. I think that Jordan Hill and Daquan Jones could have themselves big days up front, okay? And the next part, and they also don't challenge the depth of the secondary. They like to keep things underneath. Paul Langford's kid, Ryan Langford's probably their best receiver. Spencer Harris has not done as what I thought it was. I thought Spencer Harris would be their best receiver. And I do like the tight end, John Davis, a lot. I think he's a good-looking player. But I don't think they're all that good up front. And I think they're going to be able to get some pressure and shut them down. Now, defensively, Buchanan 99, Doug, watch him. That's a big-time player on the defensive end. 45, Jonathan Brown, the weak side linebacker, is a really good player. And I think Terry Hawthorne in the one corner, number one, is good. I think the other eight guys, think the other eight guys are guys that are waiting to be beat.
Okay. Well, it's great talking to you guys. Kevin, Steve, thank you.
Doug, thanks so much. Always great hearing from you. Now go back, make some money, Doug. Okay, we'll come back and wrap up in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Everything is on sale at Sunbury Motors Hyundai Lincoln. Everything is on sale.
And we mean everything.
New, used cars, trucks, vans, and SUVs. All priced at blowout pricing for this once-in-a-lifetime sale. Every one of the stylish, most fuel-efficient cars in America discounted to sell.
Sell. Sell.
Check it out. A 40MPG Elantra, Elantra Coupe, and Elantra GT. All priced under 20 grand.
Not bad for being the 2012 North American Car of the Year.
Also, the Sporty Veloster, priced under 20 grand. And if that doesn't blow your mind, how about the beautiful Sonata, also available at around 20,000 bucks? And if you're looking for a used car, we've got hundreds to choose from, all at the lowest prices of the year. So if you're in the market or even thinking about it, there is only one place to stop. One place to stop. Sunbury Motors Hyundai Lincoln in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza. Because right now, everything is on sale. And we mean everything.
Welcome back. I was really surprised by this. Both Madison Square Garden and the Barclays Center decided not to bid on the ACC basketball tournament. Not so much on Madison Square Garden because they have the Big East, but for Barclays, and Penn State's playing next year at Barclays at a tournament in Brooklyn. And it'll be next year. They were trying to get a game this year with Manhattan, and thought they had it set for December 22nd, and then Manhattan backed out of it. Well, Penn State now is going to play in a tournament at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn next year in basketball. And I figured that they would go a whole hog and try and get the ACC tournament because they're looking for events and programming, and supposedly the Barclays Center is built really for basketball. They just had to pass on it. I was surprised by that. I was surprised. You know what's amazing? As much as Bud Selig has been criticized over the years.
Right.
Right now, which commissioner has more peace and who quietly negotiated a deal with the players last offseason so there was never any issue in Major League Baseball?
Boy, it really hurts me to answer that question, but you're right. Never really been a Bud Selig fan.
I know, and I'm not here defending anybody. I'm just saying to their credit, they went out and they quietly negotiated a new deal with the players, have labor peace. The NFL had the lockout last year, now the referees, and now this debacle. And if this were a one-time thing with the replacement referees, I think the public could buy it. But there's been a lack of comfort, and that comfort level has decreased every week during the season. And the NFL now has to sit back, reevaluate, and say, look, we need to put something meaningful on the table and resolve this.